Well, we're continuing on the questions for this week, at least. I have to be in New Mexico again next week, so we'll be doing something different then, but got a lot of stuff to think about and cover tonight, starting with our question. It says, this stems from a real conversation with a Muslim friend. Would God frown upon me as a Christian wearing traditional Islamic garments such as an abaya, jilbab, kaimar, hijab, etc.? I just find modesty to be very difficult for me in worldly clothes. I would love to wear what they wear. They pull off modesty in such a beautiful way. So, very easy question, right? Okay, the first really good thing is that the desire to be modest, right? That's implied in the question, how to be modest. Alright, does anybody find it hard to buy modest clothes? Okay, I hope everybody would say yes. Well, we've been meaning to talk to you, Tim. There's some problems. No. But guys, unfortunately or fortunately, don't have as much pressure on this. But is it hard to find modest clothes? Okay. Are sports uniforms often immodest? Right. Is it hard, difficult to go to the store and just find something off the shelf and, you know, this is great, it's modest, it's all this. Is that hard? Difficult? Yes. Everybody's seen that. Interestingly enough, Tracy found for me today a very interesting article. Let me see if I can find the Norway Beach Handball Team, which I didn't know existed. Members slam bikini rule, no good reason for it. If you're a woman and you want to play beach handball, you have to wear a bikini bottom, or you will be fined. They were fined $1,700. Guys wear shorts. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Huh. So, if guys play volleyball on the beach, they wear shorts. Why would we want make women wear bikinis? Does it make them play better? No. When we look at the sports attire in high school, and junior high for that matter, girls versus boys, which one's tighter and more revealing? Girls. Why would we do that? I will tell you, from my understanding, volleyball attendance has gone up dramatically since I was in high school. I don't know if it's because of the attire, but that's one of the things. And so, modesty is a hard thing. It's difficult. If you're a parent and you're not having regular discussions about this, I think you might be missing it. And might be. But you can't put a blanket rule on anything, but guys and girls, we have to apply the same rules, and we've got to think about this. And so the thought of modesty is twofold, right? We normally think of which aspect of modesty when we think of modest apparel? Physical. Does it cover what it's supposed to cover? Is it too tight? Is it too short? Or is it too low? Right? We ask, are those appropriate questions to ask? Can something be too tight? Okay. Can something be too low cut? Okay. Can something be too short? Yeah. Okay, guys, wear a shirt. Blanket statement, wear a shirt. Just wear a shirt. Always wear a shirt. Every time. Forever wear a shirt. It's amazing. Just wear a shirt. Now, does it say in the Bible, thou shalt wear a shirt? That's implied when you read up the aprons and things. But wear appropriate clothing. And you have to do this, and our kids grow, and something that was appropriate becomes inappropriate, right? I'm sure you've all had that. I remember Elizabeth had this pretty brown dress, and she wore it all the time. And one day she puts it on, and you're like, that's too short now. And she's like, which I think is genetic. They have the ability to go, see, it's fine, Dad. See, it's over the knee. It's great. And you're like, no, it's not. So, you know, you have to have these discussions. And they're sad. And they're difficult. Is dressing modestly in this way going to make you stand out? Often it will. Sometimes it will. Right? Do we like for our kids to stand out and feel awkward? No, not one of them. But that's very important that we do this. They want involved in activities. We have to ask, is it modest? Because it might be cute for a 6-year-old, but with a 20-year-old wearing that, it becomes less appropriate, right? And the way you train your children when they're young is probably what they're going to be doing when they're older, right? Right? Is it making sense? Some people are looking like I'm crazy, which might be true, but the topic here, these are things we've got to think about. And so we just wanted to talk about these. This is a quote I put up a couple of years ago. It says, fathers and mothers, think back to when you were 13, 16, or 20 years old. What kinds of feelings did you have when you saw an attractive person of the opposite sex? While cultures are always changing, men and women have struggled with feelings of lust from the beginning of time. Knowing these feelings you had, why would you not do everything you could to keep others from lusting after your child? Some of it is out of our hands, but we need to think about these things. Does it cover us when we sit, stand, stretch, etc.? I'm sure if you're a parent, you've had them have to do the thing to make sure that it's still appropriate in whatever, you know, position or activity they're in. Does this draw attention to the shape of our body? And then the second type of modesty that we don't talk about a lot is, can we cover everything and still dress immodestly? In what way is something immodest if it covers everything? It's not too light, high, too short, too tall, whatever. Call attention to yourself, right? So where do we go biblically when we think of this concept? 1 Peter 3 and all that. 1 Peter 3, right? Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. That doesn't mean don't wear not clothes, but putting on this very outlandish, flamboyant, whatever you want to say, clothing. So, we're supposed to be modest in this way too. I've actually heard Christians say that it's impossible to violate this because we're all so rich compared to what they were back then. Is it possible to draw attention to ourselves through our clothing? Yeah, and to be inappropriate in that. That's part, a lot of it's to do with culture, correct? Something that blends into the U.S. might not blend into India. Something that blends into India might stand out pretty dramatically in the U.S. So, you have to think about that. Athletic and theater costumes must meet all these. Another thing that we need to do is we need to have both husbands and wives talking together about what someone's wearing. And there's a trump card that has to be removed from the vocabulary. But it's cute. Well, if it's inappropriate, that trump's cute. So, just think about that. And this is an interesting thing. This was not a Christian parent that came up with these criteria, and I think it's something we should think about. Can you participate in the activities you will need to do without worrying about your clothing? It's always interesting to be in a, go to the theater or something, and you see the young woman who's wearing a strapless dress, right? And what are they doing the entire time? And you're just like, that's got to be so uncomfortable, you know? Now, my kids can't wear strapless dresses. That we consider that inappropriate. But even if you think it's appropriate, this is showing you that there's a problem. They're just pulling it. So think about that. Is it practical for the weather? Okay, hopefully we won't have to go with that. Will the clothing seem out of place, or will it communicate respect for where you are and who you're with based on the social norms of that setting? The first funeral I ever did, a granddaughter showed up with red contacts. Her eyes were glowing red like a demon out of some show. And a Harley Davidson t-shirt. And the t-shirt didn't bother me near as much as looking at someone with red contacts with the glowing eyes. It's like, this is really, and you're like, okay. I don't think red contacts meet the, you know, the non-attention drawing apparel, but it's your grandmother's funeral. She was a really nice, neat old lady. Why are you wearing, but anyway, so is it appropriate? When I go to funerals, I dress up. That is not the social norm as much as it used to be, but that's how I convey respect. I have to be careful with that because I can be in situations where I'm sticking out like a sore thumb because that's not the way everybody's dressing. So you need to think about that. Even though I think a suit and tie is the way you should dress on a lot of these occasions, think about where you're going. Is it going to blend in? Is it going to be, hey, there's Zane. Think about that, but make sure it's correct, and then communicate respect for where you're going. And that's coming to services, coming to Bible studies, coming to VBS. When you come and you're going to come to learn about God, you're conveying some type of communication with how you view God. So think about that, about a dress code. This is very important, and this is often neglected, is are you comfortable with the parts of your body that are showing and that others may notice these parts, and though we are not responsible for the actions of others, how will you feel if someone says something about that? If you're drawing attention to the shape of your body by being tight or low or high or whatever, are you okay with them bringing that up? I went to Denver last week, and it was amazing. I have never felt like an old fogey, except when I got to downtown Denver and saw what people were wearing. And I was just like, wow, this is, you know, it was just embarrassing. It was like, I think most people's undergarments covered more than most people were wearing, and it was really unsettling. And then when you read this, you're like, what if you walked up and said, hey, you seem to be proud of this part of your body. You're showing it to everybody. What would they do? They would kill me, first of all. And I would never say that, but this is a thought. If we're going to draw attention to something, is it appropriate for someone to come up and say, hey? So that can be very awkward. And any comments about that? When I work outside, I cover everything up because when I was a kid, I saw a guy that taped on plastic ears because he had skin cancer on his ears. So it always freaked me out. So I wear a hat, I wear gloves, I wear a long sleeve shirt, and I wear jeans and that or pants. And people are like, that's hot. Actually, it keeps the sun off. And I mean, I haven't died yet. But you're right. The hot weather is not an excuse to be immodest. And being in the Middle East and those areas, if you work all day in the sun, you don't wear a tank top and a t-shirt, or tank top and shorts. You have to dress for it if it's every day, all the time. The women in my family traditionally wear dresses, skirts, whatever you want to call it. That's in our family, and that's what we've decided. But it's amazing out in the world how many people come up and ask us if we're Christian. Never happened before we made that rule, that the vast majority of the times that's what would happen. So yeah, it does communicate something with what we wear. All right. Other comments? Right. Well, and yeah, that's an extreme example, but we do communicate by what we wear. And, you know, whether it's what's written on our clothing or what we're wearing or what we're not wearing. And so we need to think about that. Clothing is a form of expression and communication. And that's the reason I think school uniforms would be a great thing. Let's take that out. But yeah, we have to think about that and be aware of what we are communicating. Another interesting thing. Can you tell me what inspired you to pick that outfit out and what it feels it expresses about you and communicates to others? Something good for even us adults to think about when it's not a, is it covering everything up, but what is it communicating? What is this saying, about you? Okay. So, this is a hijab, and my, Arabic is quite rusty, so I'm probably saying these things wrong, and please forgive me. And so basically it's the covering of the head and the hair. The covering of the hair is an important thing in Islamic, people. And so you'll see often that the hair would completely be covered. In fact, you see a little bit of her hair there, and that might, bother some people in the fit of this. The khaymar. So it's a big scarf that goes all the way down to the woman's waist. The abaya. It's a long flowing dress that's often embroidered, and it's a cloak often worn outside of other clothes. And the chador, another one that goes all the way down to the ground. The niqab. These are various cultures. Yeah, no, this is not what you have to wear, but the question's question was, can we wear these and do it? But I don't know how much you've looked at Islamic clothing, so we're going to cover this. And then the burqa, which, so this covers everything, including a mesh over the eyes. Men often wear thobe, and then the headdress of men in Islamic countries. So what happens is each Islamic sect, often in country, often in culture, they have various strictures. So if you were in Afghanistan, remember the burqa was a big deal. But a lot of people will wear the hijab in the U.S., for instance. You know, Islamic members of Congress, you'll see them wearing the first thing. And so, obviously, some of these are quite dramatic. But they did, in the question, ask about this specifically, and the abaya, the clothing covering. So, your daughter comes to you and says, hey, I think I want to be modest. I think this is important to me. I'm going to start wearing this. What do you say? Yes. Some are like saying, wow, oh, this is so good. Yeah. Okay. There is a part of that. But why? Why is that? What would be good about it? I think there are good things about it. Yeah, well, it's covering it. Yeah, it is conveying a modesty. What other good things about it? What do you communicate when you wear this? Wholesome, pure. Well, it is related to Islam. Yes, a Muslim. So, okay, so there's purity, wholesomeness, but then there's the Islamic component. So, submission, yes, yeah, right, okay, so let's hold off on the Islamic component. Let's say we do a slight variation of this that looks like this but doesn't look Islamic. There are other cultures, Judaism and other things that are covering that you don't immediately associate with Islam, like nuns, yes. The habit, I think it's called. Yeah, the scarf, yeah. For many, many, many centuries, a woman would not enter a Christian house of worship with her head uncovered. And, you know, if you read the Little House books or something, you know, that wasn't that long ago, the late 1800s, and they talk about head coverings even outside of worship services. It was very common, and that was part of the role and part of the covering. Bonnets were very important. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, and that is the crux here, and you're really going to have to struggle with this personally. And I hope everybody could hear everything, because I can't say everything she said, but that we do wear things of different cultures and things like that, because they're pretty and they're modest and they're fine. When I was in Korea, I got Elizabeth a silk dress because they were like $5. You know, the silk kimono equivalent for Korea, you know, Elizabeth. Annyeonghaseyo, you know, she was so cute. It was great. She could say hello in Korean and, you know, proud dad. But yeah, that's the way it is. But what we wear communicates something. If it communicates, I am of this faith, then there's a concern, right? Would you agree? Okay. So if this communicates in the United States of America, and I would even say in the southwestern part of the U.S., because it will vary dramatically even among cultures in the United States. If this says Islam, what would be the wise way to answer this person's very beautiful question? What's the wise, what would be wisdom in helping them do that? Yes, Michelle. They're saying modesty. They say, and I don't doubt them, but they're saying they want to be modest, and this is just a prepackaged way that does that. So what would you, or anyone, yes, Cheryl? Right? But, so, how about this? I'm gonna throw something out there and let's see if this makes sense. Is there a slight modification that could be made to this, which will have the cover that is modest and shows submission, shows some things that people associate with that, without saying Islam? There might be some a scarf. Yeah, there can be a scarf. There can be other types that isn't gathered here. I'm not a seamstress, but there might be some things that can have the same type of covering, the same type of, I'm taking this modesty very, very importantly, right? Someone that wears this on a regular basis, you wouldn't expect to see at the beach dressed inappropriately, would you? Well, I had a turtleneck, but it's, you know, I've known a Christian woman who for several years wore a covering, not like this, but covered her head with scarves and things like that, covered her hair. And she said it was amazing how everybody treated her with much more respect and gave her her space and treated her like a woman deserving respect. She was struggling with 1 Corinthians 11 thing, and we can talk about that if we need to, but it was interesting that she saw that it was a big change. Again, she didn't wear the hijab, but it's something that she thought was very interesting, how people, she was communicating that she was religious and spiritual. That's what she thought. So what if someone came in and had a covering of some sort? Maybe not this that one was going to worship with it. And they always wore a covering of some type. What would you say? Well, yeah. Yeah, there are people who put it, you know, on the small, but I mean, we're talking someone who goes all 24/7. When they're outside of their house, their hair is covered. Well, let's see, okay. You're raised in Islam. Okay? You're raised, that's what you own, that's all you understand. The Quran, you have, that's all you know. And you hear that in a little town of Columbus, there's some people who worship in the way they think is spiritually correct. And you come in, and you're wearing a burqa, the whole mesh, the whole thing. The guy is wearing the long flowing robe and the band, the black rope and the covering. Well, but you don't know what I'm carrying right now. I mean, let's be realistic. Now, I've dealt with a lot more people from a lot different cultures maybe than the average person in Columbus. Let's say it that way. 99.9999% of the people they want to feed their family. They want people to leave them alone. And they want to have a house, a car, and a hobby. That's really what, all over the world. So if someone comes in like that, we have an opportunity to protect our safety to the utmost, or we have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone who looks different than us, speaks with a different accent, and has a very different background. And this is important that we do this. And, you know, it's right now in our world, because of, you know, terrorism, those things, we're worried about someone, you know, that's dressed differently. But that applies to someone who is from a different country, speaks a different language, their skin's a different color, all of those things. Everybody's made in the image of God, and we have to be open to that. And we're going to be, it's going to be awkward sometimes. And, you know, I was telling Jeremy and Tristan Sunday about there was a Muslim man who worked with me, and he wanted me to meet his mother. And the poor woman was shaking like a leaf. And I felt so bad, and I was so wanting her to feel better, and I was so nervous, and she was so nervous, I stuck my hand out to shake her hand. And it was like I slapped her. And I felt so horrible, I just wanted to cry. I really did, because I was trying hard, and I just completely just messed up. And I felt so bad about it, and I wish I could go back and fix it, because why did I stick my hand out? Well, that's what I was trained. You know, hello, I'm Zane Rose, nice to meet you. That's not what you... So we need to meet people where they're at, so we can have the conversation, so they can see that we see past their culture, we see past the language they speak, the color of their skin, or how they dress, or who they are. I would be curious. You know, but... Okay, well, yeah, right. But the likelihood, and I guess because I've been with various different people, the likelihood of them having bad intentions is low. So let's look at the opposite of that. What if someone came in dressed like a prostitute? Completely inappropriate. How are we gonna handle that? Give her a coat, right? Well, but no, I mean, it's happened where I worship. Yeah. So how do we handle that? Treat them like a person who has a soul, and we'll work with it, and it's amazing how much that can help. Yeah. We can scare people away. Yeah. Well, in College Station, we had a lot of college kids come, and freshmen, college students, in general, dressed horribly. And 3/4 of them started dressing better by their senior year without any major intervention. They would talk about it in ladies' classes and things, but some didn't. But in general, we have to allow people to have time to grow. Yes, Michelle? Well, we only can control when they're in a home. And, you know, yeah. And I have a, in my world. And so, a fellow Christian isn't dressing the way they should. What should we do? Is that the reason you always compliment me on my hair? Yeah. Zane, your hair is great, not a part out of place. Good job. Yeah. Well, if you're from Indonesia, that's where you grew up, and you were told to dress modestly, that you were going to a religious service, you would dress this way. I mean, 99.99% of the time, that's just what you would do. If you were from parts in the Middle East, you would wear at least an abaya, more than likely the chador, is what you would do. If you were from the Middle East, told that you were going to go to a place where modesty, that's the way you would. If you were in the 1800s in Texas, and you were told as a woman that you were going to religious service, you would wear a full-length dress, your ankles would not be shown, and you would have a bonnet on. That, no exception. So, you know, these things, mean something. If you're in Afghanistan, this is what you're going to wear. If you're going to the Middle East, then you would probably be expected to wear this if you were going to a religious service. This is kind of the way things are. So, to the person asking this question, it's a good question. And it was very well phrased, and it has good intentions. And we should always, always encourage good intentions. And then maybe try to be creative in ways that this can be used, maybe as inspiration, that maybe says a little less Islam and, you know, just modesty. But this is a good question, and it's a hard question. And we need to really think about this. And we need to make sure that we're modest all the time. And modesty doesn't change whether we're at the beach or at a athletic competition or in theater or anything else. It's pretty crazy, what happened. Right. Yeah. Yeah. If we're going to be shot, sure would be good to have it happen in the village. You know, worse than God, there's a lot worse ways to die, but honestly, we have to take risks in order to be alive. In the Vacation Bible School, we talked about Paul and all the things that happened to him. That we aren't called to get beaten and all of that and stoned and shipwrecked and holding on a plank, you know, a day and a night in the deep, but these are important things that we have to think of. And then I think Jeremy and other people said it. What are we saying by how we dress? What do we think? And we have to think about that. And we have to help people understand what they're saying. And I agree, I'm not going to come up to, you know, a 15-year-old girl and go, that's not my daughter, and go, hey, da-da-da-da-da. It's not going to. I talked to the parents. I've tried that a few times. Didn't go well. But, I was teaching a high school class many years ago, and the chairs were arranged in a circle. And there were two young ladies that wore short dresses and didn't fit like ladies. And, you know, so, you know, I stand up and I'm like talking to this side of the room. And I was just, that was not good. You know, when I taught at A&M, there was a couple of classes I taught that were in the stadium seating. You know, where the seats go up and you're just, really? Wear clothes. I didn't come to, we're teaching engineering, not this. Why would you wear that? But anyway, things to think about and make sure we're communicating godly things. And it's important to know that this is a work in progress, so we be patient with people as they grow in this also. Thank you for your comments.